Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
The FBI is very concerned about the Chinese hackers, and now you are very concerned about the Chinese hackers, even though you've always known that there are Chinese hackers.
I am inevitable.
Indeed. The Chinese hackers were inevitable. So, by the way, were the Russian hackers. So, by the way, are those guys in the dorm room down the hall who never seem to have a girlfriend. Huh. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is how you get to be a part of the show. You have Christopher Wray. He runs the FBI. If you remember correctly, he's a jerk face. I don't know if that's his official title, but certainly we could say that the idea of the FBI, they have acted like a bunch of jerk faces. Maybe that's it. Maybe instead of name calling him, we could just discuss how we believe that the FBI has acted, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. By the way, let's remember their founding. They didn't carry guns. That's how I know it. They didn't carry guns in the beginning. Well, according to Ray, the Chinese hackers have developed the ability, and I'm quoting here, to physically wreak havoc on our critical infrastructure at a time of its choosing. This is called Volt Typhoon, which, oddly enough, is my name on Tinder. And it has embedded itself in critical infrastructure companies. Telecommunications, energy, water, and others. And quote, its plan is to land blows against civilian infrastructure to try and induce panic. This was last week at the Vanderbilt Summit on Modern Conflict and Emerging Threats. According to the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Volt Typhoon is part of a criminal ransomware group and is not related to the government. Now, here's the question. When they tell you that this group, Volt Typhoon, which I'm pretty sure opens up for Dave Matthews Band, do you believe that they are not part of the Chinese government? This is what you say when you're told by the Chinese government that Volt Typhoon is not related to the government. It's going to take a lot of... I might need some extra time there, Alec. Oh, gosh, Alec's dead. I'm sorry, Mayim. Oh, no, she didn't get to keep the job. Is it Ken Jennings? That guy's a tool. All right, here's my answer. What is... I don't buy that crap for a second. That's a correct answer. Nice. Put you in the lead right there. Some in the U.S. have been using origin tracing of cyber attacks as a tool to hit and frame China, claiming the U.S. to be the victim while it's the other way around, and politicizing cybersecurity issues. This from the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. I think that we should at least be clear about something. Of course it is possible that we could do the same to China, and this is nothing more than a level of detente. Detente? Think of it in the Cold War concept. I think in the French it refers to relaxation is what it does. Detente is like, okay, all right, everybody knows, everyone understands things can be bad here. Everybody knows that things can get rough. You know, it's like in the diner scene there in Pulp Fiction, and you got Samuel L. Jackson with the gun, and there's Tim Roth, and he's got the bag of wallets, and there's Honey Bunny freaking out, and he's all just like,
"Be cool, Honey Bunny, be cool."
Right, that's detente. Just everyone calm down. Everyone just a scotch. Let's just bring it. Just bring it down a little bit. Just a little bit, because things can get rough. And if you want to make it rough, I can make it rough. They can make it rough.
I can do this all day. All day, son.
Let's just bring it down a bit right here. So it's possible that we're doing it. It is possible that we're doing it. It's definitive that they're doing it. Hold on. I want to change that. I have absolutely no doubt that we are able to engage in cyber attacks around the globe. If you take a look at data showing cyber attacks coming into the country, it is astounding the numbers that take place out of Russia and out of China every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year. It's nutty. When you see this, one should ask, what is it that we do about it? What is it that we should do about it? Now, this actually relates back to the conversation about what's going on with universities and the Jew hatred and really the America hatred. Remember, it's America hatred. It is Western civilization hatred. I would, as a matter of course, end all student visas from China. You don't get to send kids to U.S. universities. Now, U.S. universities, they're not going to be happy about this at all. They're going to be angry.
It stinks.
Because those kids from China, they pay full freight. Oh, yeah, they make big, big money. Big money on those students. I don't care what they make. Why would I care the amount of money some university gets? Some other dollars they're able to pad the endowment with. We're really having a conversation about safety and security. And they want to have a conversation about being able to put another bunch of bigoted teachers on tenure and ensure their salaries for forever? Nah. I don't care if they have jobs. It matters not to me that a university professor has a job. Could not care at all. It's not that I can't care less. It's that I can't care at all. I cannot begin to put myself in a position to basically say, aw, I can't do it. So let us start with that. Let us engage in ways to make it more difficult for people to be abusive. Because here is this closed, communist, awful nation. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the government. And we make it easy to have access to us and our things. Why don't we make it less easy? Now you could say to me, hey, Tony, the hacking isn't actually coming from inside the house. The hacking is happening here. The hacking is happening there. That you can say that, and I'm willing to believe you, except I'm left with questions. Like, for example, if that's the case, why do so many Chinese nationals work, Chinese companies work to purchase land near military installations here in the United States? If that is the case, why are there 24,600 Chinese nationals who have tried to cross into the United States illegally in the first 6 months of the government fiscal year? The fiscal year starts in October, by the way. I know, it's weird. I don't understand it myself. I used to work for a company where their fiscal year started in March. I don't even know what that was, but it's the way they did it. 24,000. That doesn't include those who have come across in the lawful points of entry. Single able-bodied men, 24,000, 85% of them single able-bodied men. Yeah, we shouldn't be allowing that. So even if you were able to show me, you could visualize the data and you could see where the attacks are coming from, and therefore you look at this, and therefore you look at that, I must take a look like a rational person at what's happening inside the walls of the nation. And man, we're too easy to exploit. We make it too easy, and we have to stop. That is, for a lot of people, a hard pill to swallow, because they'll say things like, well, the Constitution doesn't apply to Chinese nationals. Let me say it again. Don't care if they like it. Don't care if they like it at all. I care that we protect the nation from these level of threats. Back in February, Christopher Wray, other government officials testifying in front of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, the hearing titled "The Chinese Community Party The Chinese Community Party Cyber Threat to the American Homeland and National Security." That is one heck of a title right there. The infrastructure of the nation holds on by a thread. It doesn't take much to create great issues. Two refineries go down, you will wait online for oil. I mean, for gas. We still haven't figured out how to build another refinery in the United States. Well, we can't do that. Global warming. We might hurt a fish. Where? Somewhere. That's not a reason not to have a refinery. By the way, oil is good. Can we get a hand? Well, something? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you there, producer Jason. I appreciate that. Oh, no, develop all the solar you want and all the wind. Let's develop hydrogen. Let's develop these things. I love it. But it doesn't work yet. And the problem with the climate cultists is that they want you to believe it does work yet, and you should suffer until it works in a way that you would consider, okay, this is working. That's just weird. That's weird, and they're weird, and it's totally weird. This story, because of everything that's been happening over the weekend with Columbia University, Northwestern, Yale, what's going on with Israel, and you've got people who've resigned, you've got the hit on Rafah, you've got still questions about could there be an Iranian response. These kinds of stories, they get like overlooked. I don't think the threat to our cybersecurity should be overlooked at all. I'll be keeping an eye out for these stories and making sure I share them with you. I'm Tony Katz. So on Facebook Marketplace, someone is selling a 1970 Pontiac GTO, and it says Judge clone, but a true GTO. What do you mean a Judge clone? Right. So we're talking about the Judge, right? We're talking about a little bit of specialness in the GTO and Pontiac, and it's very, very cool. It's very cool. I just don't know what it means to be a clone, but still a GTO. Someone who understands cars better than me needs to explain that to me. Tony Katz today. Over the years, like during breaks, like I clear my head. Like I know the next thing I want to talk about, I'm preparing for it. And so to clear my head, Facebook Marketplace, I look at all sorts of stuff, all sorts of things, all the time. And I've just decided I'm going to start sharing them. Honestly, this thing is beautiful. Yeah, to me, it looks beautiful. I'm not looking for a show car. Like I could not imagine buying a car that I don't drive. I feel the same way about cigars and bourbon. I'm not buying a bourbon that I'm not going to drink. The whole thing is nutty to me. But I don't know what it means to be a GTO, but a Judge clone. Someone who knows cars better has to explain that to me. I would greatly appreciate that, because it doesn't make any sense. Meanwhile, David Beckham is suing Mark Wahlberg, which there is the lawsuit that you were not expecting.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
So David Beckham, soccer superstar, phenom extraordinaire, is suing Mark Wahlberg, actor, for losses after a brand deal went south with something called F45 training. Wahlberg has 36% of the company. He's the chief branding officer. So Beckham is claiming that he was duped by Mark Wahlberg. Beckham says he lost $10 million. He's like, I was promised stock, and it wasn't given to me until the share price went to, and I'm quoting here, so he's suing not only Wahlberg, but his investment firm, F45. Huh. By the way, F45 is a fitness center. I have never seen one. Maybe it's because I haven't been looking. That's a weird lawsuit. Because nobody looks good in that conversation. David Beckham doesn't look good because things didn't work out the way he wanted, so now he's suing. Wahlberg doesn't look good because he screwed a guy out of $10 million. When asked for comment, Mark Wahlberg said, hey, tell your mother I said hello. That is an Andy Samberg reference, and I'm super proud of it. Super proud of it. Honestly, that's going on the highlight reel. That's how good that, I don't care if you didn't like it. No, that was gold. Thank you. I've been a fan of the F45 franchise and training model since being introduced by my friend Mark Wahlberg. That was Beckham in 2021. Oh, I'm fascinated. I am fascinated because Beckham is not the only guy suing. Greg Norman, golf great, who is now the CEO of Live Golf, the Saudi Arabian golf thing, he's got an issue with F45. And he and Beckham were going to go in on this lawsuit together, and a judge said, nope, you got to be separate. So he's like, fine, we'll just, you know, we'll make the whole thing work. We'll just bend it. Bend it like Beckham. That joke did not work as well as the other one. The other one was gold. So now they're suing. The idea that I'm going to think of Mark Wahlberg as somehow this slimy, smarmy business guy. Ah, man. He's always a super nice guy, you know? Turned his life around. Got himself on the straight and narrow. Found the Lord. Did it all the right way. And now he's just suckering people out of cash. Honestly, I cannot wait to see where this goes. Like, I want to see this in open court. Absolutely want to see this in open court. Things I don't want to see, that there are people out there paying plastic surgeons $5,000 to have nipples like David Beckham. What? What, you don't think that's newsworthy? Someone, a man, looked at another man's nipples and said, I want those. $5,000. New York City surgeons seeing a surgeon men looking to have their nipple size reduced. They want them to be almond shaped. Guys, listen. I'm here to say, for the record, maybe we've all gone too far, and maybe we've become too comfortable in our lives. For the first time ever, I'm like, you know what? You know what? Perhaps we've reached a closing of a chapter. We're going for the almond-shaped nipples. That I don't get. Flavored, sure. Shaped? This show is awesome.
I get paid to do this.
Find everything at TonyKatz.com, except the almonds. This is Tony Katz Today.
Look, I think obviously Putin here is using reverse psychology, saying that he prefers Biden. We have all seen the relationship and that he has with Donald Trump. We've all seen Donald Trump falling all over himself for years and years, even before being president, to kowtow to Putin and kind of get in his good graces. And
it's reverse psychology, don't you know? Anna Navarro, she's got it all figured out. You see, Putin says he prefers Biden, but we all know that secretly means he prefers Trump. You see, it's because I understand the mind of Vladimir Putin, because I used to tell people I was a Republican, but everybody knew that I was a liberal shill. But I told them I was a Republican. It's reverse psychology. You see what I did there? Genius. The View is still on the air, and the women who host it still make more money than I do. The whole thing is very distressing. Tony Katz Today, 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. Also, just a quick update on the whole GTO clone thing. So, since the GTO is basically a branding and a badging situation, the judge is a branding situation for the GTO, the Pontiac GTO. It is possible to sell a true Pontiac GTO that is a judge clone. The badging makes it the clone. So when I see a Pontiac GTO 1970 for $55,000 and it tells me 66,000 original miles, but it's labeled, it's badged as a judge, but it's a judge clone. That's them actually, as somebody pointed out on X, that's them actually being honest with me. And so that I appreciate. I don't think I'm getting it. But I just wanted to know what in the world that was. So thank you, all of you out there who reached out and emailed Tony at TonyKatz.com or reached out on X at Tony Katz to explain it to me. Now let me explain the similarities between the pogroms we are seeing at Columbia University and those who marched in Charlottesville with tiki torches. The only difference between the Jew haters of Columbia University and the Jew haters in Charlottesville is the tiki torches and the khaki pants. That's it. Aside from those two bits of aesthetic, they are exactly the same. They could attend the same meetings. They have the same speeches. They have the same beliefs. They have, in many ways, the same ideology. As a matter of fact, we were told that Donald Trump said there were very fine people on both sides. That isn't, of course, what he said. But we keep hearing about it, that he called those with the tiki torches screaming, Jews will not replace us, like we want to replace them. We're doctors. You think we want to be you? First of all, we hate the pants. Secondly, nobody wants to live in their mother's basement, although our mothers may desperately want that. No. We are going to go elsewhere. But Trump didn't say that there were very fine people on both sides referring to them. But the New York Times, they did put out a headline. At Columbia, the protests continued with dancing and pizza. They kept Jews from walking. They chanted from the river to the sea, which is a call for genocide. They praised Hamas. This happens all over Columbia. It's happening at Northwestern. It's happening at Yale. At Yale University, they ripped down an American flag and they're screaming, Viva Palestina. I don't even know. I don't know where that comes from at all. They then try to set up these lines. This is crazy. So this was Columbia. I have the audio here. Listen carefully if you will.
Attention, everyone. Can I get everyone to form a human chain right here, please? We have Zionists that have entered.
My check!
Repeat after me. We have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Who have entered the camp.
We are going to create a human chain.
We are going to create a human chain.
Where I am standing.
Where I am standing.
Somebody had a Jewish star, Star David, Mogen David, whatever you want to call it, around their neck. The Zionists have come. It's a pogrom. Now, if you're like, Tony, this isn't such a big deal, let me change your mind if I could. Here, let's listen to it again, but I want you to replace Zionist with black person.
Attention, everyone. Can I get everyone to form a human chain right here, please? We have Zionists that have entered.
My check!
Repeat after me. We have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Who have entered the camp.
If you went onto any college campus today and you said we have black people who entered the camp, you'd be thrown out of that school so fast you wouldn't know which end was up. You wouldn't have time to finish the sentence. You still not with me? Okay, I want you to replace Zionist with gay people.
Repeat after me.
We
have Zionists.
We have Zionists.
Who have entered the camp.
Who have entered the camp.
See how that works? There is no way in any other grouping outside of white people where you can make that statement and anybody would allow you to survive getting off of the campus. But Jews, it's fine. Jews, it's totally fine. When I tell you that it is a pogrom, I mean every word. The whole concept of a pogrom is the idea of an attack on an ethnic or religious group. And this is, of course, a hearkening back to whether you want to talk about the Holocaust, we're going to talk about Germans, we can talk about this, I think, in Russia. There are places that we can bring this to. This is what's taking place. Here is somebody walking onto campus, and you have people form a line in front of them, and wherever they move, this line moves so they can't get past. Why? Because they're Jews. This is, what's the difference between them and the people with the tiki torches? The difference is the tiki torches. As a matter of fact, why don't we just start sending tiki torches to Columbia University? That way they don't have to hide. They're the same people. Khaki pants and tiki torches for everybody. This is who you are. Oh, you're so kind and woke and you're fighting for the people of Gaza and, oh, that despicable Israel. You are Charlottesville. Columbia starts with a C. Charlottesville starts with a C. You think that's coincidence? I don't think that's coincidence. I think they're the same exact person.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Except these people are from New York and Virginia. They are looking for Jews to isolate. They're looking for Jews to attack. And we should be clear that, of course, the goal isn't people who are Jewish. The goal is us, Americans, we. Do you think these people on the campus of Columbia or anywhere else, do you think they will be satisfied once Israel is gone? The answer, of course, has to be no, because one has to ask themselves, what really drives these people? What drives them is this so-called idea to instill justice. Something, if my job is to provide justice, something has to be unjust. I have to find it. It's like these people who want to live off of their trauma. Look at this terrible thing that happened to me, as opposed to getting over their trauma. It's the author Gabriel Zevin in the book Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. It's a fascinating line. I don't know if she realized she wrote such a powerful line. Maybe she didn't. How do you overcome the trauma when it's the most interesting thing about you? We see this time and again. People who experience something awful, and this is how they profit. This is how they get a reputation capital. This is how they get likes on social media. Look at the terrible thing that happened to me. As opposed to that terrible thing happened, I got over it, I now lead this life, and it's pretty good. Find a place for it, move on. Sometimes you got to find a place for things and move on. And sometimes it ain't easy. But that's the sign of adulthood. Elevating your trauma to a level of idol worship and demanding that other people worship your trauma idol, that is what the child does. I was out to dinner last week, group of friends. Some of them had little kids. Oh, adorable kids. Adorable kids. And adorable kids do adorable kid things. And one of the kids went around to every adult at the table, 10 adults, 11 adults at the table, one by one, to point out the little boo-boo they had on their elbow. It's a kid. That's what a kid does. Oh, what happened to you? Oh my gosh, that's terrible, right? Look at the attention I got from my boo-boo. When an adult does it, it's creepy and weird. When an adult does it, they think that the trauma, the boo-boo on their elbow, even when it's a real trauma, is the thing that allows them to be special. As opposed to overcoming it, foregoing that being special, for having a happier life. So if this is indeed the case, that the trauma is the thing that moves them, and the pursuit of quote-unquote justice is the thing that is most important, what in the world would make anybody think they're going to stop here? And then you see how they engage in conversations about destroying America. This is the goal. This is the desire. Of course they want to tear it all down. Of course they want to burn it all down. The protesters at Columbia are now calling for the killing of Israeli soldiers. They want to burn Tel Aviv to the ground. You see, it used to be about just getting Israel to stop attacking Hamas in Gaza because of the poor innocent Gazans. Now it's about destroying Israel. If it can move from that to that, why would anybody think it won't move from that to destroying America? And they've already said so. And the best is when you explain this to people, they'll say, oh my gosh, you don't have any video of that. Oh my gosh, one person saying it doesn't mean. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because we have seen how these things grow and build. We've seen how these things multiply. And we have seen on college campus after college campus, the pogroms, which started with nothing more than sit-ins in the president's office or people standing up and saying, we need to stop the Gaza genocide. It went from stop the Gaza genocide, which wasn't happening anyway, to destroy Israel. How many more times do you need to see a movie before you know the plot? How about at Columbia, where they hold signs in front of pro-Israel supporters or Israel supporters saying, hey, Hamas, here's your next target. Not Israel, right here in the United States. If they're at Columbia University, believe it or not, still the United States. The question is, how does one deal with this? And I believe the answer is force. And as I said, I will explain that coming up. I'm Tony Katz.
So I just want you to know that that's taking place in front of an extremely crazed judge who's the most overturned judge in New York State. He was overturned four or five times on that case alone. That's, you know who it is. I don't have to mention names. I want to be nice. I want to be very nice. But a thing like that and a thing like what's going on right here should never be happening. It's a very, very sad day in America. I can tell you that. Thank you very much.
I don't want to mention his name. I want to be nice, but he's an extremely crazed judge. Huh. Oh. Oh, you couldn't have written it on your best day. Tony Katz, guys, what's going on? Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669. Of course, there's still a gag order in place on this trial, the hush money trial, which is an embarrassment, but it started today. The idea that Trump was involved in a crime by paying hush money is laughable. The only crime here is that the trial was brought now to interfere with the presidential election. And all of these so-called do-gooders and decent people standing up for democracy, God, they hate you. And they lie right to your face. It is gross. Let us break down this concept of force. Let us... Yes, really and truly, listen to the words of Hillary Clinton. It's going to be funny. You got to trust me. Trust me. Come on, I wouldn't let you down. This is Tony Katz today. It's coming up.